I don't know why Jesus loved me. Oh, I don't know why he did. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. He left his mighty throne in glory, to bring to us redemption's story. But he died, but then he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. At least look like you're glad. Hallelujah. I don't know why Jesus loved me. Oh, I don't know why. I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why Jesus loved me. Oh, I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why Jesus loved me. Oh, I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. He left his mighty throne in glory. He left his mighty throne in glory. Oh, to bring to us redemption's story. But he died, then he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why. I don't know why Jesus loved me. Oh, I don't know why. I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why. I don't know why Jesus loved me. Oh, I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did.
Amen. So good to see Sister Deirdre back. Hallelujah. We greet you in the name of the Lord. Let's, we'll sing a chorus and we'll ask, Sister Lydia is going to help Sister Angel play a song, yeah? Okay, so Sister Angel won't sing that song if Sister Lydia can't play. Oh, are you going to sing with no instruments? Okay, you can sing with no instruments. Amen, because I can't play that song. So we'll just sing a chorus and then we'll ask Sister to come play. Don't worry, the Lord will bless us one day. We'll have all the requirements that we need. Amen. I don't know why Jesus loved me. Oh, I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did.
God bless you, saints. Saints of all the ages that's gone by, They long to see this happening in their time. But they died in faith, anticipating for the day which is going on now. In this finishing hour, darkness holds the world in deadly grip. People's hearts are in religious sleep. But there's a holy and elected nation, pure and right, for the harvest is ripe. Fields are ready and wide. There was a midnight cry, the bridegroom's drawing nigh. There will be a rapture in the twinkling of an eye. Come, trim the lamps of your hearts now. Let the love of Christ shine bright in you. Let his life in you abide. Jesus Christ is revealed in his bride, the glorious and spotless sinless bride. She's ready to be standing by his side. She's given the filing in of righteousness of saints, the perfection of Christ can be seen in their lives. There was a midnight cry, the bridegroom's drawing nigh. There will be a rapture in the twinkling of an eye. Come, trim the lamps over your hearts now. Let the love of Christ shine bright in you. Let his life in you abide. Jesus Christ is revealed in his bride. How we cherish the message from God. Let us sing a new song to the Lord. It's a sign to all the nations, the divine manifestation, for we have a revelation who we are. There was a midnight cry, the bridegroom's drawing nigh. There will be a rapture in the twinkling of an eye. Come, trim the lamps of your hearts now. Let the love of Christ shine bright in you. Let his life in you abide. Jesus Christ is revealed in his bride. There was a midnight cry, the bridegroom's drawing nigh. There will be a rapture in the twinkling of an eye. Come, trim the lamps of your hearts now. Let the love of Christ shine bright in you. Let his life in you abide. Jesus Christ is revealed in his bride. Let his life in you abide. Jesus Christ is revealed in his bride. God bless you.
Thanks, Sister Angel, for that song. Very good song. Amen. Just want to say something. I'll sing a song. Next week we won't be here. It's not what I want to say, but I just wanted to say this. It was a good time this weekend on Friday. It was so good. It was Sister Angel's first time out. And I said to her, go and give that person a track. You know, but it's quite a serious thing if you think of it. And she went, and that lady said, no. And it's hard. It's like this whole week, Brother Max and I was taking him around town looking for work, and I was saying, go in this shop, give them a CV, go in that shop. Some shops, they'll chase you out. But the shops that chase you out, they build you up for the next shop, so you just get scared. So when you're giving out tracks, you get scared. I remember going with Brother Cheslin, and he used to refuse. I said, brother, you have to come. I used to fight with him always. And the first thing that he done when he went home, he phoned me and said, brother, imagine. I went home, and the first thing we done, we went out to a city to give out tracks. Exactly what we're doing in Dublin. I said, that's why I used to force you always to say, you should come, brother, because one day you're going to be faced with this. Now the brother is preaching often in church. He has a lot of responsibility in church. He's always phoning and saying, ah, brother, I need to speak to the pastor. I need to ask him this. I said, brother, this is what I was telling you. You have to prepare yourself. So it was quite good that at the end of the night, when we came back, myself and Brother Will, we went down one corner, and Brother Paul, we went down one corner, and we were speaking to one lady. And it was actually, we were really speaking to her nicely, and it was like something just happened. It's like she saw some, because she just suddenly got scared and she ran away. And she was a normal woman. But you see, we laugh, but those people, we don't know what they sing. We don't know what demonic forces are controlling those people. It was quite scary, you know, when you, even those people, when you talk to them, you can see this one is close to madness, but she looked perfectly normal. You see, and when you see all that, then when we came back, we found Brother Maxwell Jr. and his sister, and he said, ah, brother, please, can you come? Come, give us a hand. And we went, and there was this very nice Romanian girl they were speaking to. And it's a challenge to all of us, because we should, even at home, wherever we are, we should always be speaking to people. And they were speaking to this lady, and she was saying, I really want to serve God, but my uncle and my auntie don't want us to serve God. She says, they persecute me. I've even decided to move out, but I just want to do my leaving cert. I'm moving out of home. I don't want to live there anymore because I want to serve God. I wrote a letter to a pastor in Pakistan asking him for help. Hey, and I said, sister, and she was asking us a lot of questions like that. So I said, that's why God has brought us tonight to talk to you, to tell you that here in Dublin there's help. You see, so, but we have to go out and search for those people. But I'll just sing just a song. I may not sing all the words, but I'll just sing the song as best as I can. When the pastor was preaching that time about Melchizedek and all that, and I went and I listened to that message, sometimes you can hear music in songs. And I got these words out of there. I think I've sang it before. The Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like a man to me. Melchizedek came in flesh, revealed in the Son of Man. He came as Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. God, who at sundry times spake to us by His Word, in the seventh age manifesting Himself in an elected bride. After Abram won the victory, Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. When these earthly bodies cease to be, we'll take communion at the wedding supper. For the bride to reign, she must suffer. Fear not, bride, you've been shown. Gentile bride, you're not alone. Only the predestinated are considered in redemption. You may think you are, but do you have representation? Redeemed is to bring back to its authentic place. Only the predestinated will be brought back to this state. I'm under construction, being changed for a heavenly place. After Abram won the victory, Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. When these earthly bodies cease to be, we'll take communion at the wedding supper. For the bride to reign, she must suffer. Fear not, bride, you've been shown. Gentile bride, you're not alone. King of righteousness is King of peace. He came in flesh, a bride to see. King Theophany Jesus is King of kings. Do you believe in the Son of Man? It's Him we see. Longing for your return, in your likeness to be. After Abram won the victory, Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. When these earthly bodies cease to be, we'll take communion at the wedding supper. For the bride to reign, she must suffer. Fear not, bride, you've been shown. Gentile bride, you're not alone. Now the question at hand, who is this Melchizedek? Right where you stand, where is your theophany? Choose you this day, where will you go? Are you heaven bound? Do you really know? Bypass your theophany, yes, tempted here below. After Abram won the victory, Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. When these earthly bodies cease to be, we'll take communion at the wedding supper. For the bride to reign, she must suffer. Fear not, bride, you've been shown. Gentile bride, you're not alone. Fear not, bride, you've been shown.
Amen.
Sister Lydia has a song for us to sing, and then yes. Amen.
God bless you, Saint. I would like to sing one song, which would be kind of for the Father's Day. Actually, I was really thinking if I should sing this song or not. This morning I was talking to my dad, and he sends warm greetings. He always likes sending greetings. He always likes this congregation very much. Also, we were talking with Brother Vlad's dad, and he's been not well, so please remember him in prayer. And, you know, this song is, firstly, is dedicated to the Lord, to the Heavenly Father, and then, secondly, to the fathers, like my father and all the brothers and future fathers and young brothers, because it's really great thing, I believe, to, you know, to hold that position in this age. And, you know, I remember one girl one day, she told me, you know what? My parents, they just left me, you know, they just abandoned me, you know. I don't have really good memories for my parents, you know, because she's been in the foster care for many, many years. And she's been 19 that time, and I was about 23, and she was telling me, "Ah, I don't want to be even a mother." And I said to her, "Oh, I didn't know really how to talk to her that time. But, you know, then I was thinking to myself, yeah, there are some people who may not really have many things for what you could appreciate, maybe your father or mother. But then I was thinking, yeah, God, at least help us, maybe at least something, at least we just really, at least that you gave us life through those people. You know, you gave us life through our father and mother, and that's the great thing, I believe. So this song is, I will be singing. I'll try my best. It's E. Heavenly Father, I am really thankful. Heavenly Father, I love you so much. Heavenly Father, yes, you redeemed me fully. Heavenly Father, you've done everything for me. Heavenly Father, I am really thankful, Heavenly Father, I love you so much. Heavenly Father, yes, you redeemed me fully, Heavenly Father. Just let me say again to you, thank you. Thank you. Taking my cross and following you, reconsecrating myself for you. Thank you. Thank you. Now for my daddy, you are really great treasure, Daddy. I appreciate you so much. Daddy, for your caring and providing, I'd like to say something to you. Thank you. Thank you. Remember reading Bible for us, teaching us important things for life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I am really thankful, Heavenly Father, I love you so much. Heavenly Father, yes, you redeemed me fully. Heavenly Father, just let me say again to you, thank you. Taking my cross and following you, reconsecrating myself for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's sing that song, I Pledge Allegiance. That's a good song, Sister Lydia. Thank you. Let's sing that song, I Pledge Allegiance. And while we're singing it, I was speaking to Brother Ronan. He asked me to read something, but it'll be too long. maybe on the next prayer meeting we'll speak more about it. I'll ask Brother Maxwell if it's okay, or Brother Francois, whoever's preaching. But I just wanted to ask because he really sincerely extended a request of prayer. He said, ask the saints to pray for me. The last year and a half has been dark in my life. I'm really having serious fights in my life. I'm under spiritual warfare, but the messages the pastor has been preaching are so appropriate. But what was good about it all is he says he's been listening to the messages online. So he's streaming. You see, so we really pray for the brother, you know, because he told me about last week's message, what was preached. He logged in and he was listening to the message. So let's really pray for him. He's our brother, you know. And we can ask the Lord to grant him grace again. Let's sing that song, I Pledge Allegiance. I have heard of Christians long ago who were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die for the Son of God. They would not deny, like a great angelic choir sing. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His name. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come and the years have gone, but the course of Jesus still goes on. Now the time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. But one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life, till the trumpet sounds on that final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, my shame. I will seek to honor His command. I will pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Amen. When you join the army, you pledge allegiance. You pledge allegiance to the flag. Oh, friends, we're pledging allegiance to something far greater than a flag. That the moths can eat and that passes away. Amen. We're pledging allegiance to the Lamb. Amen. To the cross. How wonderful. God bless you, Brian, Sister Didrik. Good to see you back. I'm sure you had a wonderful time. Amen. Amen. back from America. We have Brother Pele's cousin, Mido, from Malahide. He's with us. He's in the rehabilitation center because he suffered a stroke last year in Cork, where he was living and he's desiring prayer. So we'll gladly do that today. Also, one announcement, youth meeting, 1 p.m. next Saturday at the church. Next Saturday, 1 p.m. youth meeting at the church. Just to say about outreach as well on Friday, I think it was a real blessed time. Almost everybody who went out, plenty of good opportunities. And may the Lord help us as we go through summer. I know a lot of people will be away at this time, so it might be a good thing on some of the Fridays. We use that time fruitfully to continue on getting out there. There's hungry souls. We spoke to some people, a man and his family, and they testified to us. Now, the man wasn't a believer, but the moment we started speaking to the man, he started telling us everything that was wrong with the Catholic Church. And the more we spoke, me and Brother Rock, I think we spoke for more than an hour to the man and his family. It was quite a powerful time. And you'll be surprised. You never judge a book by its cover. Also, Brother Ronan, Brother George sent me the message from Brother Ronan. He really does just need prayer. You know, I said, sent back to Brother George, I said, that is a classic case of spiritual warfare. Brother Ronan was saying, whenever he starts getting in contact with the saints again, he says there's voices, there's an oppression that comes to him and says, just do what thou wilt. Yeah. And we know that's from the Satanic Bible. Do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. And he says, whenever he starts thinking about or speaking about the things of the Lord, he suffers. It's like the devil won't let him come anywhere near the saints. And he says the devil tells him, those people don't love you. Those people don't care for you. He says, but he knows that it's not true. And I said to Brother George, that's one thing the devil fears, is bringing people into the message of the hour. And the devil will do anything that he can to keep people out of the auspices of the message. Because the devil knows, just a person coming with the right attitude for any length of time, it's just a matter of time that that person's going to be set free. So we really want to keep praying for Brother Ronan. He's our brother. He's a real wonderful person. But the devil's really trying to hold him back. So really, as Brother George said, let's keep him in prayer. Also heard from Brother Kingsley, some good news. Brother Kingsley's getting married. Amen. Next March, he sent a message to say he met a real good sister. She's from Cuba. So he said by November he'll have the final dates, but he'll let us know. But he said it looks like he's going to get married in March next year. So it's wonderful to hear good things. Amen. Amen. So we do appreciate that. Let's open our Bibles, Acts chapter 22. Try to go a little bit slow because of interpreters. Acts 22, let's read the testimony of Paul. Let's read from verse 6. This was Paul when he was brought to give an account of why he was doing what he was doing. Why was Paul leading a message? Why was Paul not with the rest of the denominational systems of the day? And we know Paul many times was brought to an account, to give an account. Why are you doing what you're doing? And Paul, he had an absolute. Paul, he could always point back to something. Something real that had happened to him, which was the basis, which was the foundation of what he was doing. Paul wasn't doing things just intellectually. Paul wasn't doing things based on second-hand knowledge, second-hand information. Paul had a real experience, spiritually, a real revelation, a real commission. And whenever the going got tough, he'd go back to that. And he would speak of that, because the devil could take many things away from Paul, but could never take that foundation away from him. And that's why he says it in verse 6. He's brought up now and he's giving his defense. He says, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. So it didn't matter what all the other people said about Jesus. It didn't matter about the people who were saying the disciples came and stole his body. And all. Paul didn't worry about those things. Because Paul knew that Christ had resurrected. Not because someone told him. Not because he had a doctrine that had been taught to him of the resurrection. But he met the resurrected Christ personally. And that was the basis of his faith. And friends, the devil can take away anything that he wants from you, but he can never take that away from you. If you've had a genuine foundation, if you've met the person of eternal life, Christ yourself, it doesn't matter what else the devil can bring. And in this day, he's bringing a lot of things, friends. There's a lot of things that he's shooting all around. But the genuine believer has a secret weapon. He has a foundation, and Satan cannot trample on that holy ground. He has no access to that place. And that was Paul's absolute. And he says, verse 9, "And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me." It's like getting the message now. Many can see the pillar of fire, but they've never heard a voice. They've never heard the voice behind the voice. They've never experienced anything. People can testify there was a prophet, there was a cloud, because somebody else told them. Somebody has reasoned them into the message. So when somebody comes to contradict the cloud or to speak against those things, they can be reasoned out of what they were reasoned into. And that's a dangerous and vulnerable place to be. But a person who meets the Christ behind the cloud, who meets the pillar of fire that's in the photo, it doesn't matter what people say about the photo. It doesn't matter what people say about the cloud. Your absolute isn't based on that picture. Your absolute is based on the God who brought that picture into being. And that's a spiritual revelation that you've received. So these men saw the light, but they heard not the voice. And I said, verse 10, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said unto me, "Arise and go into Damascus. And there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led of the hand of them that were with me, I came unto Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, "Brother Saul, receive thy sight." And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Can you see why those things had to happen to Paul? Because he had to be a witness. And you can't be a witness of something that you didn't experience. You can't go to court to be a witness if you weren't there. If you weren't on the scene of the crime, of the scene of the accident, you're not a true witness. You're just telling of what somebody else said. But to be a witness, you were there. You saw it. You were part of what took place. And therefore, no matter what happens, you can just keep coming back to that absolute. The lawyer might try to twist you this way and this way, use his legal terms, his legal jargon. It's not going to move you a bit. You're going to say, "I don't care what you say. You weren't there. I was there. I know better than you because I'm an eyewitness. I'm a witness." And Paul was called to be a witness. Let's bow heads. Father, thank you for Paul. Father, thank you for a genuine witness. Thank you for the testimony of a true witness. And thank you, Father, that in every age, you are raising up witnesses, Lord. Father, they speak of the Jehovah's Witnesses. We are the real Jehovah's Witnesses, Lord. Because Jehovah has revealed himself. The Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. And Father, we are witnesses of these things, Lord. Not just of the letter that killeth, but Lord, of the Spirit that giveth life. So help us that each and every one of us in this place, Lord, may, Father, have a true something to witness of. That our witness may be a genuine and a true witness, Lord. Father, bless your people upon this day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. I do pray for Brother Ronan at this time, Lord. Father, to that darkness, Lord, that would overspread our brother, Lord, to that confusion that would come upon him. Father, you know his soul, you know his life, you know his heart, that inside of him, just like legion, Lord, Father, how the prophet said, he was crying out from his soul. Though, Lord, the devil would oppress him and, Lord, would possess him, but in his soul, he was seeking for salvation. And Father, you brought your deliverance to him. Because you will always respond to a soul that's seeking for you. So, Father, we just pray that the same grace, Lord, that went to Legion will go to our brother upon this day. Father, that you will cast forth, Father, every work of darkness, Lord. That, Father, the power of your light, the power of your truth, the power of your presence, the power of your being. Father, would visit our brother, Lord, and just bring him back. We'd ask and pray as a witness and as a testimony for your glory, we ask. Thank you, Father, for bringing Brother Brian, Sister Deirdre back. Father, would you pray for the saints that will be traveling in these weeks? Watch over them, Lord. Give them a blessed time. Let them be a blessing as well, we'd pray. Father, thank you for outreach on Friday. Lord, let every seed that was sowed bring forth of its own kind. May you water it, Father, that which has been planted, Lord. And you lead us and guide us for your glory, we pray. Pray for the youth meeting next Saturday. Bless it, Lord. Father, won't you just be, Father, with your young people. Just bring them to that place that they can really be a witness, Lord. Bless these tithes, these offerings. Thank you for this day you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, saints. Let's also read Ephesians chapter 6. Take a couple of verses from there again. Let's read from verse 10, just to remind ourselves. Peter said that while he was in this body, he wouldn't weary to stir up our minds by the way of remembrance. And I think with the things of the kingdom, there's so many things that are hostile to our faith. And whenever the Lord's trying to establish or build something inside of your life, you know, the devil's going to try so many things to distract, to pull down, to wear you out. So it's always good to keep coming back. That what the Lord has built, let him keep on building until the fullness of what he desires to build at that time has been established. So Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Now that's the only believer that's going to stand in this age. Amen. This is the most deceitful age. This is the most wicked of all the ages. It's only a believer who's strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in your intelligence, not in your intellect, not in your reasoning, not in your education. All of those things are shifting sands. You cannot build on those things. The only thing that a believer should be seeking at this time, Lord, I want to be strong in the Lord. I want to be strong in the power of your might. That's the only thing that overcomes the devil, friends. You and I don't have the might. We don't have the strength. But like at Sunday school, Brother Max was showing, that deity in you, he's the overcomer. He's the one who has the power because he's already overcome. So that's why Paul is saying, finally, to conclude it all. Then he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So you've got to have this armor, and we know it's a spiritual armor, because we wrestle not with flesh and blood. So we need to be equipped with the spiritual armor to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And friends, he's full of wiles. He's crafty. He's cunning. The devil will be a message believer as long as it suits him to be a message believer. He'll stand in message pulpits and preach from message pulpits as long as it's in his own interest. And then he'll turn around and then he'll persecute the message when it's in his interest. That's what he did to Jesus. He wanted to make an alliance with Jesus. Bow down. Hey, we can rule this world together. And then when he saw that Jesus wouldn't accept him in that way, he became a persecutor of Jesus. So that's the way the devil works. If he can't get you one way, he's going to get you another way. But he has many strategies. He has many ways that he attacks the message of every hour. And one of the most powerful methods he can bring is a civil war. One of the most destructive things in any nation is a civil war. When brother fights against brother. When fathers fight against their sons. America fought their war of independence. That was good. But then there came the civil war. That was the greatest blot on their history, was when brother fought against brother. And that's what the devil does. He'll try to persecute from without. But one of the most effective tools he has, he sows his seed within. And then in due season, he brings about a civil war. And then you find, but this isn't what we thought that it was going to be. Friends, it's in the word. Nothing surprises the Lord. Whenever the Lord sows the wheat, the enemy follows and sows the tares. And they grow up together, and you won't even know until a certain season called the harvest time. And when it comes maturing time, when it comes harvest time, then it's the time to separate. The Lord says, let them grow together until the time of the harvest. And just before the harvest, when the grain goes to the garner, it's time for there to be a separation now. Amen. And then you'll say, but I thought that was my brother. Then, well, we all love, believes all things, but you find maybe it wasn't. That's right. Because there's tares that are sown right in the midst of the wheat. Paul thought he was together with Demas, but then that came just about crowning time, and then where was Brother Demas? He went his own way, the prophet says. He says he never went back to the world. He went back down to the denominations once again. Friends, no matter what happens in this age, you'll always find it back in the Word as well.
Right.
It's nothing should ever surprise a believer who looks through the lens of the Word, because there's nothing new under the sun. The prophet says, in fact, let's read verse 16 before we get to that. Look at this part of the armor. Just verse 16, he says, above all. So above all of these other pieces of armor, he says, taking the shield of faith. Faith is a revelation, we know that. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Amen.
So there's going to be a lot of fiery arrows. And friends, one of the most cowardly ways of fighting a war is through archery. Because it's not face-to-face combat. The archers can hide in the shadows and then shoot their darts and they can get you unawares. And that's how the devil likes to do things. You just find a fiery dart. But Paul says, God has spiritual armor against that. And that is the shield of faith. Now, faith is a revelation. And the important thing to remember is revelation is supernatural. Every revelation is a supernatural act. Revelation is when God speaks personally to you. Revelation isn't when I speak to you, or when your father speaks to you, or when your mother persuades you of something. That's not revelation. That can lead you to revelation, but flesh and blood cannot give you revelation. Jesus said that to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood never revealed this to you. But my Father in heaven revealed this to you. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail. So friends, let's be honest. When we see people falling away from the message like it's happening at this time, let's tell the honest truth. Did those people have revelation? The gates of hell cannot prevail against revelation. You know what they had? They had the knowledge of the revelation. That's what Brother Ram says. He says people can have the knowledge of the revelation without having the revelation itself. We can know about the seven seals. People can come and stand and say, I know seven seals were opened. I know the first horse rider was the white horse rider. He was the Antichrist. I know the second horse rider. And they can tell you all of the knowledge without having the revelation. And the only thing that proves whether you've got the revelation is what Paul said.
Amen.
Will you be able to stand in the evil day? Because a person who's built upon the rock, the evil day will prove who is who.
Amen.
And the evil day always comes. It's only a matter of time. You may go 20 years in the message, but your time's going to come.
Amen.
That revelation that you claim to have is going to be proved. Because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. It has to be shaken. That which cannot be shaken can remain. And Paul said, and we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. That's the only thing that's going to stand. So when I see people that were ministers in the message fighting against this message now, the truth of it is, they never had a revelation of the message. They had a knowledge of the message, but not a revelation. Because the gates of hell can never prevail against the rock of revelation. If you built on the rock like Paul was, doesn't matter what the devil does. No matter what the devil does to you, he can only take you back to your foundation. He can't take you any further than your foundation. He's not allowed on that sacred ground. That's God's personal private domain. Is that a revelation that is put inside of your life? And I remember Brother Beckett saying, revelation is grace. It's not something you deserve. Revelation is grace to you and I, friends. And God is the giver of revelation. And that is what we need in this hour. The genuine spiritual revelation. We don't just need knowledge. Knowledge, it's okay. Brother says, your intellectual faith may lead you to spiritual faith. He says, if God pours his anointing on your intellectual faith, he'll quicken it into a supernatural faith. But he says, your intellectual faith will not give you the healing that you're seeking for. He says, it may make you emotional, but you won't get the redemptive blessings that you're looking for. He says, it takes spiritual revelation. It takes spiritual faith. takes the faith of God Himself.
Right.
Have faith in God. Have the faith of God. Amen. That's the only thing that's going to withstand in the evil day. And Paul says we need to stand. Gird up your loins, and having withstood in the evil day, you still be found standing. And friends, every one of the genuine bride will still be found standing when this evil day comes to an end. They'll still be standing. It doesn't mean that 10,000 won't fall on your left hand, 1,000 on your right hand. It can happen. But you will still be standing. That is the proof of who the church really is. Who's built upon the rock. Jesus gave us the warning. He says, the wise man built his house upon a rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. Then they both went through the same evil day. They went through the rain. They went through the winds, the strife, the toils, the warfare. They went through the rain, the spiritual forces coming down upon them. They went through all of the same trials, both of the people that built both of those houses. But the difference was only one was standing after the evil day. And that was the one that was built upon the rock. The one that was built upon the sand. It may have looked better. It may have looked more like a believer's house should look. But that doesn't matter in the end of it all. It's not the perception of what it is. It's the reality of what stands in the evil day. Now listen to what the prophet says in True Easter Seal. He says, he's praying and he says, oh come Lord Jesus quickly. Because we see clouds floating in the air. Lord, and we know there's a great thing moving up. He says, gird up your people. Oh, may they take the sword of the truth. Buckle on the armor. Put down the helmet. Shod themselves with the gospel. And above all, taking the shield of faith and moving forward. He says, grant it, Lord, because war clouds are hanging low. Spiritual war clouds are hanging low. You can tell there's the sense, this battle. There's a conflict going on now that hasn't gone on before. Friends, it's come far closer to the message than we ever thought that it would. We're seeing things manifest in the midst of our message that we never thought we'd see manifest. We've had this and that before. People leading people out here and people leading people out there. But for things to be happening the way that they are now, the prophet says, Lord, gird up your people. Get your people ready, Lord, because the war clouds are hanging low. And to a real believer at this time, you feel it in your soul that I need to shut myself in my secret chamber. I need to be seeking His face. I need to walk close to Him at this time. Because this is an evil day that we've entered into. This is an evil day. And we want to make sure when we come through this evil day, we're still standing.
Amen.
You know, they used to sing that song in the world, I'm still standing. They took it from the word. We want to be the one singing, I'm still standing at the end. By the grace of God, standing. Now, the prophet speaks about the great safety zone for a believer. That's our topic. The great safety zone. I'm sure you want to be in the safety zone. I want to make sure that I stay in the safety zone. The prophet says, it is I, be not afraid. I was preaching the other night on the name of the Lord is a mighty tower, where the righteous run into it and are safe. He says, aren't you glad to be in there tonight? Now, my prayer is every person must be in there. Because there's people that are not yet in there. And if you're not in this place, your day is going to come. It's going to find you out. The Bible says your sins will find you out. You know what sin means? To miss the mark. To sin in the Bible means to fall short, to miss the mark. So friends, if we've missed the mark in our experience, if we've missed the mark in girding ourselves with the right spiritual armor that we should have, our sins are going to find us out. We see it finding people out now. People that we never ever thought would leave this message or leaving the message. They're missing the mark before is finding them out now. It can take 20 years sometimes. It can take 30 years. But your sins will find you out. If we're not built on the rock, friends, it doesn't matter how long. There's going to come a time. The storms are going to come. And he's going to huff and he's going to puff and you're going to blow your house down. And friends, I don't want my house to be built like that. I want to make sure now, while there's still time, while I'm still in my right mind, while I still have enough spiritual strength inside of me to seek His face, to seek the safety zone, that if I am not yet anchored securely in the safety zone, I don't think there can be anything more important than getting there at this time. I want to make sure that I'm there. The prophet says that. He says, aren't you glad that you're there? In the great safety zone where all the devil's darts pass away. There's a spiritual realm, friends, and it doesn't matter what the devil shoots at you. They pass away. They don't have the effect that they have on other people. That's an atmosphere. This safety zone is not a physical location. It's a spiritual location. And it's a spiritual location in here. Like Brother Max was saying in Sunday school. It's the Holy Ghost. It's being baptized into the safety zone. Into the secret place of the Most High. That is what puts the spiritual armor on you. And that's the only thing that's going to stand at this time. He says, where the devil's darts are passed away. By our shield of faith, we know we are standing in the safety zone. Anchored in Christ. Safe as we can be in there. Not even death itself can harm us. Now what did he warn us of, friends, before he went? He said, be careful. The last plague is spiritual death. And what is death? Separation, friends. And unbelief leads you to death. And there's a spiritual death. There's a death angel going about now, friends, and he's seeking those dwellings that don't have the blood on the door. That's the only thing that's going to stand. Is that token life. He's seeking place where there's no people in the spiritual safety zone. The safety zone in Christ. And he says that not even death itself can harm us in there. Now Jesus, we saw in these weeks gone by, he stood firm in the evil day. No matter what the devil threw at him, he came out still standing. No matter what manner of temptation came his way, he was still standing because Jesus was clothed in the whole armor of God. He had the spiritual armor. The devil had a knowledge of the word. The devil could take what was revealed to David in the Psalms. What was revealed in the Bible. So what was a revelation to David? The devil could get the knowledge of that revelation. He could go and take what had been a revelation to somebody else. The devil can't catch revelation. But he can get the knowledge of that revelation. And he came with the knowledge of that revelation to try to overcome Jesus. But Jesus didn't have just the knowledge of the revelation. Jesus had the revelation itself. And that's why every step of the way Jesus overcame him. Jesus had the real shield of faith. He had the revelation itself. Jesus could enter into a spiritual dimension of the word that Satan knew nothing about. The devil could come and say, but it's written, cast yourself down. And Jesus knew what that really meant. He says, you're misquoting what that prophet said. He didn't say it in that spirit. He didn't say it like that. Because this man, the devil, was just taking the knowledge. He could read. He could reason it out. He could put this and that together to try to attack Jesus with those things. But Jesus was living in another realm. Jesus got into the real revelation of the word. When Jesus got into those scriptures, a certain spiritual dimension opened up to him. And would clothe him in a certain spiritual armor. And you and I know what revelation's like. When you get yourself in the Word, and God starts revealing it to you, you feel completely different when you come from that place. It's like there's a buffer around you. There's a spiritual something around you. Something's changed. You're not just who you were before you got that revelation. Because a revelation is a spiritual something. It's God personally communicating with you. It's God coming and clothing and putting a certain spiritual something in your experience. That's your armor that you need to overcome the enemy. And Jesus lived in that dimension. Now, the prophet speaks in the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he says, it is the revelation of God that will give you authority over the devil. It's not just the knowledge of the word. All denominations have the knowledge of the word. There's pulpits all over at the moment, and people are opening the word. And they're preaching from the knowledge of the word. Then you ask yourself, but why is the devil then prevailing? Because they don't have the revelation of the word. That's the big difference. And the prophet says it's only the revelation of the word that will give you authority over the devil. And Jesus had the revelation of the word, and every step of the way he had authority over the devil. He would put the devil in his place. And then the prophet says there's nothing of such prevailing power as the revelation of the word. The knowledge of the word doesn't give you prevailing power. When you just know the word intellectually, you'll be sick like the prophet says, and you'll intellectually take the promise. By his stripes I'm healed. You'll be trying to say it in your mind, you'll stick it on your fridge, you'll stick it in your car. You'll be all the time saying, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed. And you still won't be healed. You still won't prevail over the devil. But the moment something happens supernaturally, and that is transformed from just the knowledge of the word to the revelation of the word, and something drops in your soul, you say, I'm healed. And now you have authority over the devil. Now you have prevailing power. Now you have a power that the evil day is not going to overcome you. You're going to prevail in the evil day. And that's what we need, friends. That's what we need. And we all know the differences. Many times, like Brother Will was saying that night, you start reading your spoken word. It's just knowledge. And then maybe you get up the next day, you put yourself before the Lord, you get quiet before the Lord, and those same pages you were reading yesterday, you look at the covenants. Is this the same book? Because it becomes a revelation now. God has admitted you into the spiritual dimension behind the written word. And that's where the power comes in. And once you're feeding on that, you're feeding on the hidden manna. That's the hidden manna. Jesus says, I have food to eat that you know not of. He was eating from a certain spiritual place that other people weren't eating from. And that was his armor. That was his nourishment. That was his battle orders. That was his wisdom. That's how he prevailed and he overcame. And that's how we prevail and overcome. And there's no other way. If you're relying on me, I'm sorry, I'm going to let you down one day. If I'm relying on you, you're going to let me down one day. Though we do need one another. Because flesh and blood can only help you so far. Then when the devil takes you to a certain place that it's just you and him, you need prevailing power for yourself. You need the sword yourself. You don't need somebody else's sword. You need the sword of the Spirit. You need the Spirit to quicken the word to you. So that's a personal sword of the Spirit to you. To overcome in your circumstances. And when the devil comes to you in your trials, you have a certain remedy you need. My trials aren't the same as your trials. I need a certain shield of faith at this time that maybe you don't need. But you need your own shield of faith. Because the devil is attacking you your own way. He knows which campaign to use against you at which time. So he customizes his approach. He waits for the right season. And then he attacks you just at that point. And my revelation is not going to help you then. And your revelation from last year is not going to help you then. You need a spiritual armor now. You need something that's supernatural, something that's active and that's working on your behalf now, so that you can withstand in this evil day. Many people in the wilderness coming out of Egypt, they overcame the first trial. They overcame the waters of Marah. They overcame the quails in the wilderness. And then they were overtaken by Dathan, Abram, and Korah. People fell each stage of the way. Some went for years before they perished in the wilderness. But there were some that went all the way. And that's why you need to keep your revelation present tense. You need to keep your experience present tense. You need to keep your faith up to date. Because what the devil's going to do tomorrow, God wants to show you today. God wants to prepare you now for the battle that's to come. Because that's the way that he works. And that battle you won last year, yes, it'll help you. But that's not going to be enough for you to overcome your battle this week or this year or next year. You need your spiritual armor. And you need it to be effective and you need it to be real. So that it can help you to overcome at that time. And it's the revelation of the soul that we're speaking about. Revelation is to your soul. It's to the inner man. It's beyond the realm of your reasoning, your understanding. That's the greatest battle ever fought. But God brings revelation to your heart, to your soul. And that's what gives you authority over the devil. That's what changes the circumstances. That's what changes the battlefield for you, is when the revelation comes to your soul. Now, Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. And what did he say to Nicodemus? He says, Nicodemus, you, being a spiritual man, a leader of the Jews, you don't know these things that I'm speaking about, that you must be born again. Let's read that in John chapter 3, just to see. John, Jesus explains it to him. Just say, Nicodemus, there's a problem here. I'm speaking spiritual things to you, Jesus said, but you're not able to receive them. Not to say that Nicodemus wasn't receiving knowledge. He could have gone from this conversation, Nicodemus, and gone and written a book and said, my experiences with Jesus. Jesus said this and Jesus said that, and I was with Jesus, I was fishing with Jesus, I was hunting with Jesus. That doesn't mean you had even one speck of revelation. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't give you prevailing power over the devil. And we see it in the message now. People that before used to stand for this message, where are they now? Now friends, we're also flesh and blood. We know better than them, and the Bible says, let him who sees his brother fall take heed. Let him correct in a spirit of meekness, lest you yourself also fall. So I'd say we need to go back, look in some of these principles to make sure that we're not basing our experience on sinking sand. That we're building upon the rock. That we're building using the correct spiritual equipment that God has given us to build with. So in John chapter 3, he says it to Nicodemus. In verse 3, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot understand the kingdom of God. And the first thing Jesus is going to show here is that in order for you to be able to fellowship with that dimension, that spiritual dimension which gives you power, which gives you authority, it's not through learning. It's through a birth. You're born into this realm. It's a birth. It's the new birth. That's the only way into this place. You can't reason someone into this place. You can't indoctrinate someone into this place. He's showing that this place of prevailing power, you're only born into this place. You have to be born into this place. And that's what he's saying to Nicodemus. He says, Nicodemus, it's good. You're a good man. But you're not yet born again. You know a lot of religious things, but you're a stranger to this realm that I'm speaking about. You can't receive from the source I'm receiving from because you haven't been born again. You haven't been born of the Word. You haven't been born of the Spirit. That's what he's trying to explain. And he's doing it in a nice way to Nicodemus. Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, friends, you can't be born of the Spirit without knowing that you're born of the Spirit. How can you have a spiritual experience? How can you meet Christ and not know that you met Christ? Paul knew that he met Christ. Paul had an absolute, he knew. Something happened to me. Now, we're not telling you that you must speak in tongues or this or that, but how can you be born of the Spirit and not know that you were born of the Spirit? That's where the deception came in the message. That's why the people have been overtaken, is they were told, all you got to do is just believe in the message. Which is true. If you really spiritually believe the message, it's a proof you've got the Holy Ghost. But how do you know whether you really spiritually know the message or whether you just have the knowledge of the revelation of the message? How do you know that just you don't just have an intellectual knowledge of the message? You know how you know? The evil day will show you. When the evil day comes and churches leave the message, they were built on the wrong foundation. There was no spiritual foundation they were built upon. They were built on knowledge. They were built upon human understanding. They were built on sincerity, I do believe. But they weren't born again. Because the gates of hell will never prevail. Never. So when the gates of hell prevail, we're not judging the people. We're saying the experience wasn't right. They didn't go all the way. They were just accepting what other people were telling them. And friends, that's a dangerous thing to do. You've got to know for yourself. This is a personal walk. A personal warfare against the devil. So you've got to know it for yourself. I believe this message because I've searched it out for myself. I don't believe it because somebody else told me about it. That's building on sinking sand. I want to search it for myself. People are hitting the message. What is the message? The message is water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I searched it in the Word. I know it's the truth. I don't care what people say. I can take it back to the Word. What is the message? The Godhead. No one had to tell me about that. I went and I searched it out for myself. From Genesis to Revelation, then I said, this doctrine is from the Lord. Because I find it in the Word. Doesn't matter how much the devil will come with this and that. He'll never move you from that. If you've searched it and got the revelation from the Word. Serpent seed. Search it with the Word. But you know where the problem comes in? People preach about serpent seed. And people sit and they get a knowledge of that person's revelation. So they have a knowledge, oh, there's the serpent seed. Then they meet Mr. Unbeliever, Mr. Skeptic and Mr. Critic. And knowledge doesn't do you any good. Knowledge doesn't give you prevailing power. Knowledge doesn't equip you to stand in the evil day. And then that person's firing things at you and you don't have an answer. Because you never were built on the rock. Friends, the prophet was a word prophet. Everything's in the Bible. We've got to prove the message from the Bible. That's when you can have a confidence. That was Malachi 4. Because you've taken it back to the Word. But so many people don't take it back to the Word. They just accept it because mommy told me this or daddy told me that. Don't ever accept it because of that. Yes, respect your mother and father. But this is your soul. You need to take it back to the Word. You need to know why you believe what you believe. It must become a revelation personally to you. Because you're going to have to fight the battle. Maybe mommy and daddy aren't going to be there that day. And then in the evil day, you're not going to be able to stand. Because you don't have the spiritual armor that you need to stand. Friends, it's a sad thing to think about when you think of what's taking place. Sincere people being overtaken like 10-pin bowling. Just grah. It shouldn't be like that. And friends, all we can do is seek Him at this time and say, Lord, I want to search my experience. I want to make sure I'm built upon the rock. I want to make sure that I'm not basing myself on a knowledge of somebody else's revelation. I want the personal revelation myself. I want an absolute. I want something which is solid. I want to be built upon the rock. I want to come into the safety zone and I want to know that I'm there. The spiritual safety zone. And then you can look to the future with confidence and say, doesn't matter what comes. Though the pestilence comes by night and, you know, all the different things that David speaks of, it won't harm you, friend. Because you're dwelling in the right spiritual place. The kingdom has been born in you because you've been born into the kingdom. And it's the kingdom in you that gives you power to prevail. That's when Paul was saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But how do you get that power? How do you get that? You've got to be born again. You've got to get born into this kingdom. And that's a spiritual experience. That means there's got to be a death. There's got to be a laying yourself on the altar. There's got to be a responding to His Spirit when He deals with you. And then you stay there, the prophet says, until the inside of the inside has been changed. Until you have a typo, something inside there that only recognizes the Word. Anything else is an uncertain sound. No matter how anointed it may be, there's something in you that says, that's not the voice of the shepherd. Because my sheep know my voice. That's when the kingdom's in you. That's when the shepherd himself is shepherding you from within. You don't want him shepherding you from without. You don't want it to be like that. He did it to his disciples and they were scattered. Remember, when the shepherd was smitten, the sheep were scattered. You want to make sure that he's in you. He said, he is with you, but he shall be in you. And that was their defense once Jesus came into them. In John 3, he says in verse 13, now he gets to the point, Jesus. Because Nicodemus doesn't understand, where are you getting these things from? You're speaking a terminology, a language that I don't understand. Jesus says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, these are people who can stand. People who live in two dimensions at the same time. People who live on earth, and they also live in heaven. These are the going to overcome. Because they're born into the kingdom. The kingdom is born into them. Jesus says, Nicodemus, you see me, flesh and blood, but I'm in heaven at the same time. And this doctrine I'm getting, it's not from flesh and blood. I'm getting it from heaven. I'm being fed from heaven. I'm being strengthened from heaven. I'm being equipped from heaven. He could span these dimensions. And that's the only way you love. That's your spiritual armor. You've got to be in heaven and on earth at the same time in this life. You've got to have access to that heavenly realm. He says it, Paul, in Galatians. He says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which I preached, which is preached of me, is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, yes, people gave me instruction, but my faith wasn't built on that. I went to Arabia. He says, I had a spiritual experience. I was born into the kingdom. Then I went into Arabia. 3 years, I searched it out in the scriptures. I wasn't taught of man. I made sure. Back to Revelation. Took my experience into the Word. Took this man, Jesus of Nazareth, back to the Word. He says, and I was taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you think you can move a man like that? All Asia will depart from him. It's not going to move Paul. Demas is going to forsake him. Do you think it's going to move Paul? His foundation isn't built upon the people that are with him. His foundation is built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, I was in heaven when I received this. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where he received what he received. He could break out of the dimension of flesh and he could fellowship in heavenly places and receive supernatural instruction, receive an armor that he could speak about. And then he could just be Paul again, mending his tents and having his good days and his bad. And then he'd break into that realm once again and he'd receive fresh battle orders and fresh revelation to give to people. Friends, that's a man who's going to overcome. Because the overcomer is in him. The overcomer is a reality inside of his life. But Peter came and speaking about Paul, he said, if you 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 16, if you put it up for us quickly, Paul, this is where it comes down to the message. The prophet never received this message from flesh and blood, friends. So if you're just a person of flesh and blood, you're going to misunderstand this message. This message is going to stumble you. It's going to stick in your throat and you're going to choke with this message, just as people did with Paul. 2 Peter 3 verse 16. It says, also, Peter speaking about Paul's epistles. In all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. The message of every hour has things that are hard to be understood. Because they didn't come from flesh and blood. These are divine things. These originated in the heavenly realm. They're just natural things. We don't just go to school and get our GCEs and think we can understand the message. You don't understand it that way. The GCEs qualify you to read. But the new birth qualifies you to revelation, friends. It's only the new birth that admits you into the spiritual realm of revelation. That's when now you can receive the revelation of that which has been written. Otherwise, it just becomes things that are hard to be understood. It says, hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable. So what can we say about the people that have left the message? Spiritually speaking, they were unlearned and they were unstable. They were unstable. They weren't built on the rock. If you build on the sand, you're unstable. If you build on anything else than the foundation that has already been laid, which is Christ, you're going to be unstable. Some people understand what I'm saying. The whole experience was built on Brother Branham. That's not the foundation, friends. Brother Branham is the prophet. But no other foundation can any man lay. Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. He's the capstone. But people were built upon the revelation of Brother Branham. And the evil days come, and people have attacked Brother Branham for certain things that he said, and the people found out they didn't have a foundation. But to the real believer, you continue standing. Because you know Brother Branham's the prophet, but it's not Jesus Christ. He was a man, he had a progressive understanding of the message. In 1950s, he says, 1960s, he came and says, I used to believe this, but now God has showed me that. And you understand how the message progressed. None of us are surprised to know that Brother Branham was a man. That sometimes he would say, Paul was preaching on the day of Pentecost. He's a man, he'll make his mistakes in the pulpit. But when you take the revelation behind what he's saying, it's thus saith the Lord. Like I always say, if you take the Seven Seals book, not every word that he said was thus saith the Lord. He said something's wrong and the angel had to correct him. But if you take the revelation behind that book, it's thus saith the Lord. You can say that book is infallible. If you take the revelation of what he's saying, the white horse is the Antichrist, the red horse and so forth. The fifth seal, sixth seal, the revelation of it is thus saith the Lord. It never came from Brother Branham. But God was using a vessel who would stumble over his word sometime, say this, forget that, misread his scripture. He was a man. Elijah was a man of like passions like unto us. He had his good days and his bad as well. But when he had moved into that realm of thus saith the Lord, friends, don't argue with that now. Because you're going to be wrestling with something like they wrestled with Paul. It says, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They were wrestling with Paul's message. People are doing it now as well. Wrestling, but he said this and then he said that. And they're wrestling with the message. As they do also the other scriptures. Go and look. On the same internet where people are criticizing the message, saying Brother and contradicted this, people are putting things about the Bible, saying the Bible contradicts itself, this. It's the same internet. It's the same tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The same one that's telling you that Jesus was false, a false prophet, is the same one that'll tell you Brother Ram was a false prophet. Just be careful of the internet, friends. There's very little out there that's even worth paying attention to. Very little. I like what Brother Donnie Reagan said. He said, people ask me, Brother Donnie, don't you want to answer these people with the things that they're saying? He says, why? He said, I could spend my time studying to please the unbeliever. He said, I'd rather spend my time studying to feed the children of God. He says, I don't even pay attention to those things. Is that not what it should be with us as well? We don't have enough time as it is to read all the message. We don't have enough time to read the Bible the way that we should. Why should we go and get on websites? Like Brother Donnie says, www.hell.com, where you find those things. Because where are the people anointed from, friends? And let me just jump ahead and ask you, where does this lead people to? It leads people into the wilderness. These things always lead people into the wilderness. You see, there was a brother, I'm not going to mention his name. He rose up, caused a split in someone's church, took 400 people, yeah? Went and made his church. A few years later now, he's left the message. What about those 400 people? He took them and he left them in the wilderness. Don't tell me that was God. Don't tell me that was God. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. Let's read a scripture. I'll show you about that, what it says in the Bible. Acts chapter 5. Be careful, friends. That reasoning, it'll take you into the wilderness. That intellectual faith, that reasoning against the word, that arguing against the word. Be careful. The devil wants to take you into the wilderness. He'll promise you liberty, the Bible says. But you never end up in liberty. He takes you into bondage. He puts you in a wilderness. Acts chapter 5. The good wise Gamaliel, he understood that principle. When he said it in verse 36. He's telling the people, leave these people alone. Let's see what becomes of their work. Give it the test of time. Let the evil day come and we'll see what happens. Verse 36, it says, for before these days rose up Thudas, boasting himself to be somebody. I love the words that it uses. He boasted himself to be somebody. To whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. Hey friends, I don't want to labor for that. Do you want to labor for that? That all you labor for, everyone gets slain and scattered and it comes to naught. You're not building on the right foundation. You're not starting off right. Look at the next verse. It wasn't only that. It says, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, just when Jesus was born, and drew away much people after him. He also perished in all, even as many obeyed him, were dispersed. Notice the word scattered, dispersed, perished. We don't want that to happen to us, friends. So let's make sure we know why we believe what we believe. Amen. Because the devil's got a day waiting for you where he's going to give you the big knock. He's maybe building up and he's planning his strategy. He's got his campaign just waiting for certain circumstances. Amen. And to every single one of us, that day comes.
That's right.
It came to us in Zimbabwe. We never thought our pastor would go wrong the way that he did. But I'm so glad to say that having gone through the evil day, we were still standing. Because we weren't built on the revelation of a man.
Amen.
We're built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I mean, this man's fallen, but Jesus hasn't fallen.
Amen.
The message hasn't fallen.
Amen.
That was what we knew. So we moved on. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
And once the man stopped following Christ, stop following the man. Because
we
need to follow Christ. That's where we get our strength. That's where we get our ability, our prevailing power, is following Christ. And that's a real individual walk.
Amen.
And the devil's going to fight against that as much as he possibly can. Now, the prophet's speaking about another dimension. I just went via Samaria there to say, be careful. Satan's plan to take you to the wilderness. And then he leaves you there. And then all that you thought was being promised to you, you find yourself, what are we supposed to do now? And it's not easy to go back now. It's not an easy thing. Those saints that went out there now and followed that brother out into the wilderness the way that they did, and now he's stepped down May the 11th, what's going to happen to those saints? The genuine ones will go back to where they came from. That's what they'll do. They'll go back humbly and say, we've learned a vital lesson. And they'll be better equipped because of what they went through. They'll be better equipped. But many, unfortunately, are casualties in these things. When our church fell apart, the brothers, no, so many made shipwreck of their faith. Many perished in the wilderness at that time. Good people. People you used to pray with. People you used to seek the Lord with. And then you find out this is the works of the devil.
That's right.
He just wants to knock you at that time. And he knows exactly the time to work. Now the prophet, speaking of this principle about Jesus living in two dimensions, he says it in the message, looking for Jesus. He says, now what is a seer? What is a prophet? What is a vision? It's another dimension.
Amen.
So when the prophet would get into that realm and see those visions, he was spanning dimensions. He was going into heaven, heavenly places, going into another place. And that's what was giving him those visions, he says. He then says, as the meetings go on each night, the anointing begins to get very deep. He's showing us how to break into that other dimension. If you understand, you'll break into another dimension. So as those meetings were going and the anointing was getting deeper, the prophet would be breaking and the people would break into another dimension. Though they'd be sitting in their chairs, we know it as believers, but they'd be fellowship and communion in another realm.
That's right.
And that's the realm of victory. That's the realm of overcoming. That's the realm where you'll understand what you're going through. That's the realm of revelation. He then says in testimony of Jesus Christ, he says, something that I can't explain, it seems it's over this building, hanging there. It seems it's a milky haze all over the building. That's in another dimension that many people know little of, but God lives in that place. So the prophet could break in and see that anointing become milky. That kingdom coming right down and merging together with the kingdom as the saints were sitting there. And heaven had come down. And anybody that was born of the Spirit could break into that realm and receive things at that time. Receive spiritual food. Receive deliverance. Receive understanding. But to the natural man like Nicodemus, he'd just sit there and say, what's going on? Because he had no way of breaking into that realm. Because you must be born again.
Amen.
Otherwise, you cannot even understand the things of the kingdom. The prophet goes on to say, when a vision breaks, he says, it's going into another world. To the scientists, it's another dimension. It's another world. Don't you love living in that world? I love that world far more than I love this world, friends. This world has disappointments, that one has none. This world has confusion, that one has none. This world we can be overcome, that world you'll never be overcome. And if you're born again, you're a citizen of both of these dimensions. Through your natural birth, you're a citizen of this world. But through your spiritual birth, you're a citizen of that world. And you've just got to yield yourself, the prophet says, once you're born again. He says, now, if the anointing will strike me, it puts me in another dimension. He says, to the scientists, they call it a dimension. But to you Christians, it's getting in the spirit. Amen. You see, what is getting in the spirit? That's where you get your spiritual armor. It then continues on in faith of Abraham. He says, scientifically, it's another dimension. But to the Christian, it's another sphere of the Holy Ghost. Hey. He says, the prophet speaking of when he's breaking into these visions, he says it's another sphere of the Holy Ghost. But he says, it's only the same Holy Ghost that saved you young converts, but you're just yielding yourself to him. So the more you yield yourself, the deeper you can go into that world. The deeper you can go into that dimension. The more real those things will become. So friends, what is the devil going to try to stop us doing? He's yielding ourselves to that dimension. He's going to get us all fussing with one another, get us all reading things we shouldn't read, get us all so busy that we're all as tired, get our minds so confused with this, that, and the other, that we're just living in this dimension. We're living under our privileges. But like John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and though he was still standing on the Isle of Patmos, he was in another world. He was seeing the Son of Man in the midst of the seven candlesticks. He was seeing the Lamb breaking open the seals. He was seeing the new heavens and the new earth. He could break into that dimension of vision, that dimension of the kingdom of the Holy Ghost. He says now, he says, this is strange. I want you to help me now. He says, pray for me. Sit real quiet. See, the prophets wanted to break into that dimension to help the people, yeah? It says, don't move around. Sit still. Pray. He says, now see, it's changing from evangelism, relaxing yourself in such a way that the Spirit of God can take you completely into another dimension. So it was relaxing himself. It was getting himself out of the way. That's where you need worship. That's where you need prayer. Sometimes you need fasting. You need to wrestle in heavenly places. Because there's powers and principalities and they've made up their mind. They've girded themselves to keep you from breaking into that realm. Because they know how effective you're going to be when you get there. They know your situation's going to change as soon as you get into that realm. So sometimes you have to wrestle first. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And then when we break through, we're yielding ourselves. And the more that you yield yourself, the deeper into that dimension. Into that dimension that you go. And God moves you on and shows you those kind of things. Now, he really gets to the point in Hebrews book. He says, the Bible says, come out of them and be ye separate. You see, you're not of that. So you've got to be careful. You can't go and play around in this dimension of this world, of Sodom, friends, and expect you're going to get into that dimension very easily, of prevailing power, of vision. Of overcoming. It doesn't work like that. You've got to separate yourself. He says, you're not part of that. And when that new nature comes into you, the new birth, you don't have to be pulled out of the world. You don't want to go back like Lot's wife. You're born out of it. You see, that's where the problems come in. We've tried to tell the young people, don't cut your hair, don't wear trousers, don't do all these things. Which is okay. And then as soon as they get a chance to do it, they do it. Why? Because you can't pull somebody out. Someone has to be born out. You've got to be born out of that realm and born into another realm. And then you don't want to go into that dimension anymore because you found the real thing. That's what the new birth does. He says, you're born out of it and then you're in another dimension. And that dimension looks trashy to you. Is that not the truth to a believer? This world is trashy to you. Their football is trashy to you. Their music is trashy to you. Not because you're better. not because you're a superior human being. God has granted you grace. And you've been born of the Spirit of God. And you've been born out of that kingdom. And you've been born into His kingdom. And you don't ever want to go back into that kingdom again. Then he finishes up in Revelation's book of symbols. He says, when was the book of Revelations written? He said, it was written before the foundation of the world. But John, by a Holy Spirit filled heart, that's when John managed to see it, yeah? He says, angelic beings associate together. He says, I hope you get that. That just dropped down right free. He says, and if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, then you're a candidate for association with the unseen and the supernatural. If you've got the Holy Spirit in you. Not if somebody's taught you the message. Not if somebody's reasoned the message into you. Not if somebody's received it intellectually. You still aren't born. You're not yet a candidate to have fellowship with that supernatural realm. You've got to be born in the kingdom. It says, no wonder people can't believe those things. Amen. So when people are fighting the message, they haven't been born into the dimension of the message. They haven't been admitted into the dimension that the message came from. The prophet says, them revelations in the presence of that ball of fire. Yeah. You think you're just going to be a natural sort of a guy watching England against whoever, and then you're going to sit down with a spoken word that was revealed by the pillar of fire, and you think you're going to understand the words on that page. No. Yes, intellectually you're going to read, yes, 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 you're going to correct his English and the things that people like to do. But for you to really get the spiritual aspect, the spiritual impact, the spiritual virtue from that message, you're going to have to enter the same realm that that message came from. That's when you'll understand the message. And until then, you'll never understand the message. You can't. It's not flesh and blood. I never received this by flesh and blood, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And all us believers know what it's like when you start breaking in that realm. You don't want to stop. Though the house may be burning down, you're going to keep your study door closed. Because you're having a wonderful time with Him. You've come out of yourself. You've come out of the dimension of confusion. You've come out of the dimension of this world. And you've got yourself into that same realm where that revelation came from. And as you're feeding on it now, you're understanding it the way that it was sent. You're understanding it in the spirit that it was sent. You really understand what it means. But you've got to be in that dimension. That's why he says angelic beings. He says, no wonder people can't believe in those things. They've never come in contact, he says. They got nothing in here to believe it with. If you ever see me standing against this message, friends, you will know I never had anything inside of here which made a contact with that dimension. That there's nothing in me, no matter how I might seem to know all that I'm talking about, but I never contacted the right place. I was never born under the message of the hour. I may have had a justified experience in denominations. I may have received the Holy Ghost, spiritually speaking, in Pentecost, the way that you can. But I never, ever was born of the Word. Never. Never born of this incorruptible Word of the message. Born into this kingdom that overcomes this age. I was never born into it. No matter how much I might quote this, that, and the other, I might have an encyclopedic knowledge of things. It means nothing. And the evil day is the test. The evil day is the test, friends. That's when we'll find out who's who, is when the evil day comes. Because those who have the whole armor, after the evil day, they'll have some bruises, they'll have some cuts and some scratches, they'll have some sweat and some dust on their brow, but they'll still be standing. Then they'll be looking and say, where did the rest of the people go? I like what one person said. He says, I don't even care. Even if my pastor leaves this message, I'll never leave this message. That's got to be your attitude, friends. It's got to be your attitude. Even if everybody backslides from this message, I'm going to stay in this message. That's got to be your revelation. Even if I'm disowned by everybody, it's by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Flesh and blood didn't introduce me into this. Therefore, flesh and blood ain't going to take me out of it. It was a spiritual something that took place. And that will keep you in the evil day. And that's what you're wanting it to be. The prophet says, when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, somebody quickly becomes a twofold being. Now you can live in two worlds. When the Holy Ghost comes in. One of the earth to die, and one of heaven to live. He says, in his body he's still subject to death. But in his soul he's passed from death to life. In his body, he has earthly contact with his five senses. In his spirit, he has contact with God through the Holy Ghost. And the angels of God visit them and speak with them. And they are messengers sent from God to reveal and to bring messages from God to the individual. So friends, you and I, you can put on a message, and God can speak to you so real. And at the same time, you have somebody else sitting in that room, and they're just grieved by everything that's said. Amen. And they can be flesh and blood to you. It may be a beloved friend of yours. It may be your husband, maybe your wife, maybe your father, your mother. That's why Jesus said that you've got to be prepared to take up your cross. Amen. To leave father, mother, husband, wife, for my sake in the gospel. Because sometimes it calls for that. Because that person just can't break into that realm. They can't. Now you've got to live with the person like Paul said. You know, grace, God will sanctify them. The unbelieving wife will be sanctified by the husband and so forth. But if it comes to the stage that you've got to choose between Jesus and them. That's an evil day, friends. But a believer will come out standing the other side. They'll still stand with Christ. They will go and read Fox's Book of Martyrs and see how many times people had to do that kind of a thing. It's not easy. But that'll be part of the spiritual armor. But God will never put upon you more than you're able to bear. Now yesterday, I don't know how I got into it, but I went onto Brother Tim Pruitt's website. And Brother Biskel was giving his testimony there on May the 31st. And I'd really recommend, I went to listen to it because I love to glean some of those things, which is really ammunition against some of these things which the critic is saying. And he was speaking about when he first got in the message. You know it. But it was so nice how he explained it at that family camp. And he says there were those three things that I didn't understand about the message. But see how it happened. He says, when I was young, he says, 12, 14 years old, I was in Brother Ram's meeting. He says, and they brought up this young girl and she had crossed eyes and they were so crossed until you could just see a little bit of the pupil of the eye. He says, and I managed to get a seat, the third row from the front. And he says, and Brother Ram started to pray for that girl. And he says, and he prayed six times. And he says, and I was counting. And he says, and each time he'd look at the girl and her eyes were still crossed. He says, and the seventh time, he prayed a prayer like I've never heard a man pray. And he says, and he took that girl's head to his bosom and said, Satan, you know that an angel of God ministered this gift to me. Now watch. It's always going to be a witness from both dimensions. The devil knows and the Lord knows that's the truth. And the prophet saying to the devil, you know that an angel from God ministered this gift to me. Now if this man's lying, nothing's going to happen to this girl's eyes. But if this man's telling the truth, something's going to happen. No matter what you and I might believe about what the prophet and the angel, that's got nothing to do with it. If that girl's eyes come straight, when a man prays a prayer like that, friends, I would listen to a man like that. And he prayed and says, Satan, you know that an angel from God ministered this gift to me and told me if I can get the people to believe. He says, and the people are believing. Hallelujah. Therefore, Satan, leave her. Amen. And Brother Biskel said, Brother Ram didn't even look at her eyes. Just Hallelujah. Turned her around and pointed her foot. Amen. And her eyes were perfectly straight. Hallelujah. Perfectly straight. Amen. Friends, the devil knew. The devil couldn't do anything. Is it not incredible how people will question that experience in the cave? Where hell itself will bear record. Like it was with Paul. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know, but who are you? You see, sometimes the devils are more spiritual than people in the message. It's the truth. Amen. Sometimes the spirits have far more perception. Amen. Friends, the devil knows that what the prophet was saying was the truth. Amen. He knows. Amen. Hell knows that. Amen. They do. That's why the devil's trying to keep Brother Ronan from coming to church. Because he knows what this message does to deliver people. The prophet says the preaching of the word casts out evil spirits. That's why those voices would be telling him, those people don't love you. Though they smile at you, they don't love you. That's the devil. He's scared. Those devils are crying out for reinforcements. Help us. Bring more unbelief quickly. Hold this guy. He's contacting that guy, George, again. Cut off his internet. Whatever the devil can do. Because the devil knows, friends. He knows more about this message than a lot of people in this message. The devil knows the power of this message. He knows. And he bears witness and he bears record. Then Brother Biscoe goes up to Tacoma and he goes to the big meeting. And he's whatever age that he is. And he sees the great meeting and all the things that took place. And then he has Brother Rasmussen come to visit him. And he says to him, Brother Eddie, have you heard about what Brother Bram's preaching these days? And he says, what? No, I'm doing my missionary work. He says, he's saying that Cain was the son of the serpent. Now you see where the confusion comes in. Brother Biscoe said, at that time, a great weight came over me. A heaviness. Why? Because Brother Biscoe was receiving the knowledge of a revelation. You see? He didn't have the revelation yet.
That's right.
Brother Biscoe's sharing secondhand, somebody telling him what Brother Branham said.
Amen.
And the Lord looked at it and said, this is my son. I don't want it to be confused like this. So let me arrange for him to meet the source of this revelation. And is that not the answer, friends?
Amen.
He went and he asked the prophet.
Amen.
God put him together with the prophet. And is that not what we should be doing as well?
Amen.
Search out the message yourself.
Amen.
You've got the source of the message yourself.
Amen.
It says about the Bereans. They were wiser than all the rest. Because they searched the Bible daily.
Amen.
To make sure. To search out the things that Paul had said. And that's what you've got to do. And then when Brother Biscoe was there and he had those three questions about Godhead, water baptism, serpent seed. Then the angel of the Lord came down to the prophet and said, Brother Eddie, you've got those three questions. But look at how the prophet answered him. Brother Biscoe said, but Brother Branham, Genesis 4:1 says, Adam knew his wife Eve and she bore a son and called his name Cain. And Brother Biscoe, Branham said, yes. But it's also written, verse 2, and she again bare Abel. He says, they were twins. And Brother Biscoe said, oh, I didn't even know what verse 2 meant. But you see, he was so convinced from one verse that he was right and that Brother Bram was wrong. But he didn't know that Brother Bram was getting this from another dimension. And then Brother Branham explained it to him and said, Brother Eddie, flesh and blood cannot reveal these things to you. I'll pray for you and you pray and God will reveal it to you. That's why I love the message. The prophet never tried to convince him. Because flesh and blood can't give you a revelation. The prophet says, you go and pray. And I'll pray for him, God will reveal it. And Brother Biscoe said, a few months later, I was reading 2 Corinthians 5, whatever, about, you know, I've espoused you as a virgin. But what, however Paul says it, that you'll be beguiled, even as Eve was beguiled. And he says, and then I started to see, oh, Eve was beguiled. She was defiled. When she got to Adam, she wasn't a virgin and all the different things. He says, and then everything started to open up. Then I understood why there had to be a virgin birth. He says, I understood why men had to be circumcised. He says, I understood all of these things, why it had to be blood. He says, God started to reveal it to me.
Amen.
You see, because it went from being a knowledge of a revelation to being the revelation itself. But to get that revelation, he had to search it himself. He had to pray. He had to seek God to open up that realm. Now, the prophet had another man that he used to be with, Gordon Lindsay. And if you go and read it in Acts of the Prophet, Perry Green's book, it's very interesting. Because Brother Perry speaks about Gordon Lindsay, because he didn't believe the message. He says, the next week after this experience, Brother Bram was preaching a meeting in Dallas. While I was there, a minister, well known all over the world, invited Brother Roy Borders and myself to come to his office and discuss the possibility of Brother Bram going to Africa, accompanied by this minister to conduct some deliverance schools. The man said these words. This was Gordon Lindsay. He said it to Perry Green and Roy Borders. You know, Brother Branham is the most easily influenced man I've ever seen in my life. ever since I have quit traveling with him, he has gone off wrong in his doctrine. For example, you take this doctrine of the serpent seed. No doubt, Brother Branham's strange life and ministry attracts all these, you know, funny people. Probably some old man dressed in sackcloth, a hermit-like, came out of the woods with a long beard. Probably someone like that came and told Brother Branham that filthy doctrine of the serpent seed. Brother Branham, you know, swallowed it and preached it from his pulpit. Now the tape has gotten out and has ruined his ministry. Now, Brother Perry wasn't a man to mince his words. Well, I had, he says, I had just heard the message serpent seed. And I thought it was a marvelous revelation. So I said, Brother, have you heard Brother Bram's tape on the serpent seed?
Amen.
You see where people get their things from? No, he said. I don't have time to listen to such garbage. Is that right? My friends, that's not the way it should be. If there's something you don't understand, go and search it out for yourself.
Amen.
Go back to the source. If you don't understand serpent seed, go and get serpent seed and pray and have an open heart before the Lord and say, Jesus, if this is the truth, you reveal it to me. And get your Bible and search it with the Bible. But he condemned it. Now let's see how this spiritually worked out. Brother Perry says, I was horrified. And I said, you shouldn't say that, brother, until you have heard what the man said.
Amen.
Don't do that. And Brother Borders, who had been around longer than I had, sort of tagged me on the leg, kicked him under the table. And I knew that meant to be quiet and say no more about it. So we went on talking about other things, excused ourselves and left. That night, now they never saw Brother Branham. That night, Brother Branham came to the services, and the same man, Brother Gordon Lindsay, was sitting on the platform. After the choir was dismissed, he was left sitting on the stage by himself. Just when the preaching was about to start. Up high, where all the congregation could see him. Brother Branham came in, greeted him, preached his sermon. Near the end of the sermon, he stopped, called out a spirit over one side and said,
Amen.
Wait a minute, there's something wrong.
Amen.
These two spirits are screaming to each other.
Amen.
Then with authority says, in the name of the Lord, I rebuke you both.
Amen.
Then Brother Bram said, you know, that's a strange thing. After the thousands of times some people have seen me discern disease and say, thus saith the Lord, and it would never be wrong. Yet when the Lord gives me a doctrine like that of serpent seed,
Amen.
They say I get it from an old man that's a hermit.
Amen.
At this he turned around and looked the man right in the face.
Amen.
Are you going to argue with that?
Amen.
The same God who revealed the diseases was the same God who revealed the serpent seed. And the same God confirmed it by casting out devils. And the same God confirmed it by revealing that man's private conversation to the prophet. There's a lesson there, friends. Be careful. No matter how big people may be, no matter how well respected they may be careful. Be careful. You search it out for yourself, that you know what you believe. You've got to know what you believe. It's an evil day, friends. And Brother Perry had heard it for himself. That's why he couldn't be moved. And the prophet knew where it came from. He says, I never received this from men. This was the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's the one who gave it to me. But this man, though he was an anointed man, Gordon Lindsay, but he didn't have access to that world that Brother Branham had access to. That's why to him it was a filthy doctrine. And friends, that explains a lot of what's happening around the message now. It explains a lot. And I know that all I've got to do and all you've got to do, keep yielding ourselves and breaking into that realm. And just feeding on the word. And let it get deeper and let it get deeper. That's your defense. That's all you've got to do. I don't need to get on the internet, search out what these people are saying and try to spend my time, like Brother Donnie said, wasting time arguing with people. Why do I need to argue with them? Why do we need to argue with that kind of a person? What we need to do is make sure that we've got the whole armor of God. That we are standing upon the rock. That we know in whom we have believed. That's all we've got to do, friends. And no matter what evil day comes, we're going to come out the other side standing. Because that's the spiritual principle. Then he says that. At this he turned and looked at the man. Let's finish off. I'll just skip on a little bit further here. Let's look at, as we close with this scripture, a battle plan that never fails. If you want to know your plan of battle at this time, for whatever is going on in your life, let me just read you a scripture and we'll finish off just fellowshipping a little bit around it. Go to Isaiah 26 verse 20. Let's see what the Lord said. Isaiah 26 verse 20. I really love this scripture because it was a troubled time in Israel. And God spoke to his prophet and gave his people battle plans, gave them orders of what they should do. And he said in verse 20, listen what the Lord says. He says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. So the Lord was saying to the people, saying, there's lots of things taking place. There's people perishing in Israel at this time. There's armies against you. Is let me tell you the way that you overcome this. Just as much as the great general when he came down to Joshua. And he says, Joshua, there's great fortifications here. This great city of Jericho. There's weapons and there's massive walls and all this. And Joshua's wondering, how am I going to overcome these things? And the Lord said, I'll tell you how to overcome it. Amen. You overcome it with a praise meeting. Amen. The tactics of your warfare, you're going to walk around the city praising the Lord. Amen. And Joshua, the great general, is getting all his weapons together saying, hey, this is going to be a hard battle. And the Lord says, no, that's not how you're going to overcome. You're going to overcome. Blow the trumpets. Take the ark. Worship me. 7 days. And at the end of the seventh day, finish it with a great shout. And the walls fell down. You see how God tells us to fight our battles. You know how you fight battles now, friends? You get yourself out the way. You get yourself out the way. Get your own understanding out of the way. Get your own reasoning out of the way. Get your own ambitions out of the way. Get all of your mortality as far as you can and its natural senses subdued. You hide yourself in your chamber. You go into that secret place of the Most High. And God is so mindful, but always before there's trouble or in the midst of trouble, he'll always invite his people. He'll say, come. Come aside. You need to be with me at this time. He'll call, the shepherd will call the sheep and say, come in. There's a storm on the way. And those sheep that listen and come in, they'll be safe. I was saying it to the brothers the other day at home when we were fellowshipping with Brother Nestor from Philippines when he preached up in the north. And he was telling us about what happened in the Philippines with that great storm. I don't know if I mentioned it from the pulpit, but I'll say it again. I don't think I did. But he says, when that great super typhoon came in. It was one of the, they say probably the greatest typhoon that's ever struck the earth. Never had one with winds. 350 kilometer an hour winds. And they saw it coming straight for the Philippines. And the government warned them of the typhoon and warned them of this great surge, this tidal surge, because those winds were pushing the water before the typhoon and warning the people in the coastal areas, get away. If the winds don't destroy your homes, there's coming a tidal surge. Now the believers on the one island, I think Mindanao, one of the islands, there was nowhere for them to go. So the pastor called them and said, saints, once the winds hit and the roofs were being blown off and all that, says, he felt led, he phoned all the believers, come to the church, come and pray. Now, there were 15 people, believers, who had left the church and went off after some other doctrine in the message. And he felt in his heart to phone those believers as well. And he phoned them and he said, please, you saints, come and pray with us. And they refused. And his church, I think about 70 people, they all gathered in the church. The storm surge hit. That storm surge, in some places, was 3 meters high. In some places, it was higher. The church was in a valley. They say that don't understand how it was physically possible. That storm surge destroyed all the buildings on the ridges above the church, but never touch the church.
Amen.
Never. But those 15 believers who didn't come, they all perished in the flood. They all perished. It was the Lord was saying, come and hide yourself for a while. Come and hide yourself. There's danger on its way. Come and hide yourself. And the people thought that they knew better. And they weren't prepared. And the oncoming storm came like the prophet said, and it destroyed them. And they weren't built on the right foundation. And I would say it, friends, at these kind of times, get real close to the Lord. Get real close to the Lord. Get really soft inside of your heart. Spend a lot of time in prayer. Don't speak about the foolish things of this world. Let us have the World Cup and those things. Friends, the World Cup will pass away. When this world passes away. But we need that whole armor of God. We need to make sure that we're fully born into the spiritual kingdom. And for us to understand such a spiritual message. They say the prophet lived more than half of his life under the anointing. He'd just be in a restaurant and then the anointing would come and he'd say, we need to pray for that waitress, she's not well. He'd be sitting at the table and, Brother Eddie, someone's praying. There was a woman in the prayer line. Do you remember her? She was a blind woman. And Brother Eddie said, I don't know, I can't remember that woman. He says, yes. There was another woman who wasn't blind and she gave up her place in the prayer line and led the blind woman through. He says, she's praying right now.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Says, Brother Eddie, do you believe?
Amen.
Brother Eddie said, I was trying to believe. And he says, to help you believe, I'll ask him and he'll give me her name.
Hallelujah.
And just over his soup. The man just prays. Says, her name is Fair. In English, we'd say fear, but it's a German and Mrs. Fair. And then Brother Eddie says, he named five things wrong with her. She has this, 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 this. Maybe she's praying right now. And when that man now opens up his Bible, you're going to argue with that man. When he comes forth with revelation from that realm, the revelation of the Word, you think with your little peanut brain, your little theological experience, that you're going to argue with that man. I would say the best thing to do is get yourself anointed. Get yourself humble. Do like Paul. Everything I knew I forgot, that I may know the Lord Jesus Christ. Get yourself in the Word. Hide yourself in the secret place. And like it says in the Scripture, don't just come in. Come in and close the door. Shut the voice of the critic out. Shut the unbelief out. Just get yourself shut in with God. Shut yourself in, hide yourself there. And the Lord says, stay there until my indignation passes over. And I'll finish with a statement. Friends, any foundation that's not the Word, God is going to judge it at this time. God's judgment is against anything that is not His Word. So if you and I are not built on the right foundation, by His grace, He's going to judge that foundation. He's going to show you this isn't going to stand. This isn't going to stand. And it allows certain things to come in your life and you will see, but I don't have the right foundation that I should have. And it's God's grace to you because it's not too late now. Shut yourself in. Seek His face. Draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you and say, Lord, I want to be born into this dimension. I want to be born into this realm. I want this whole armor. I want to gird up my loins that in this evil day, when this evil day is through, I want to still be standing. I believe that's the hope of every believer in this place. And let's pray for our young people as well. We have a generation of young people, and all of us when we're young, we're very intellectual. We can read a lot of things and we can know a lot of things. There's only one thing you need to know, and that's Jesus Christ personally for yourself. Is that spiritual revelation to your soul. The personal revelation of Jesus Christ you've brought, that brings the new birth. And we just push on as believers. You break in your way as a pioneer, seeking, saying, Lord, let my children follow after. But they can't go in on my faith. They can't go in on my testimony, Lord. Give them their own experience as well. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing that song. I shall not be moved. And you said by faith, friends, we're not trusting on ourselves. The Bible says, if any man would glory, let him glory in this, that he knoweth and he feareth the Lord. And that's what we glory in. We glory in Him, that He's more than able, and He's been more than faithful. And He that has begun the good work We trust in Him. If we just keep yielding to Him, hiding ourselves in our chamber, He'll take us all the way through.
I shall not be, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Jesus is my Savior.
I shall not be moved.
In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In my Christ I'm hiding, I shall not be moved. In His love I'm hiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. If I trust Him ever, I shall not be moved. He will fail me never. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. On His word I'm feeding, I shall not be moved. He's the one that's leading, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be.
I shall not be moved.
Oh, I shall not be.
I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the
waters, I shall not be moved. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved.
Jesus will not fail.
Oh, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be.
I shall not be moved.
Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In that rock I will hide. In that shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in that rock I will hide. In that rock I will hide. In that shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in that rock I will. In that rock, in that rock I will hide. In that shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in that rock I will hide. Not by might, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, this mountain shall not be moved. This mountain shall not be moved. This mountain shall not be moved, but by my Spirit in the Lord. Not by might, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit in the Lord. Not by might, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit in the Lord. Oh, this mountain shall not be moved. Oh, this mountain shall not be moved. This mountain
moved, but by my spirit hither, not by might, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit hither, not by might, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit hither. Oh, this mountain shall not be moved. This mountain shall not be moved. This mountain shall not be moved. But by my spirit hither. Oh, this mountain shall not be moved. Oh, this mountain shall not be moved. This mountain shall not be moved. But by my spirit, Savior. But by my spirit, but by my spirit, Savior.
Let's just remember that whatever we profess, we're going to be tested on it.
Amen.
If you're saying in the song, I shall not be moved, you're going to be tested on that.
Right.
You're going to be tested, but you don't have to worry. If you're standing on the rock, if your motive, your objective is right, he says the battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
He says, stand still and see the salvation of your God. But expect it, saints. That's how we need to come to a time of prayer. We need to do a little bit of spiritual warfare, first of all, to break some of these things. And as we pray, we want to pray for Brother Ronan, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself will pay him a personal visit once again, to break those bonds, to break those fetters, to cast out that darkness, and to bring our brother back. Let's really pray for that. Whoever else the Lord lays upon your heart, let's really put it before them. Let's sing one more song, then we come to a time of prayer.
I love you because he was for me, and he purchased my salvation. I love him.
I love him.
I love him.
Oh, because he does love me, and he purchased my salvation.
Let's pray, saints. Put yourself before the Lord. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart. The prophet says, whatever the Lord persuades your spirit to believe, it's yours. So let's all enter into a time of prayer. Father, as we wait upon the Lord upon this day, you know my petition before the Lord upon this day. You are good, and I thank you, and I love you,
Father,
Jesus. I love you,
Lord. Father, standing upon that cross. Father, that revelation.
Lord, we ask your grace, Lord, as we will travel, Lord, journey up here, that keep us, Lord. Father, you, Lord, Savior, be. Father, Lord, thy hands in hand, that will guide us, Lord, Savior.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's sing a song, that one, Justified, Justified. Aren't you glad you're justified? Condemnation comes many times, but it's good to know you're justified.
Amen.
that the blood was shed for whatever it is that you've done. And all you've got to do is acknowledge your sin. I'll just say one thing, which Brother Biscoe gave the testimony of one person who came to their church. He was speaking about that young man that was delivered from homosexuality. The one who says, I'm free, I'm free. And he says, he had a similar situation. He says, when Brother Branham, when that was exposed, that situation, he says, it delivered the young man. So he got on to that point and he was saying that you can never fully be delivered without exposing the devil.
Amen.
He says, many times you don't have to do more than that. You just expose the devil and he leaves you. And he says, but you find many people when they want to make things right, you find people sometimes they do that. They come to you and say, brother, if I said anything bad against you, I'm sorry. Where's the if coming from? You know whether you said something good or bad. You know, those kind of things are not exposing the devil. It's better to come and say, brother, I said things that were wrong and I'm sorry. That'll get to the thing. Then he spoke about this one young man who came to their church, and he came and he had the same problem. But he disguised it because he had leukemia. He was dying of leukemia. And he came to Brother Tom Ray and he asked him to pray. So they went into the office, and then he was telling Brother Tom Ray, please, I need you to pray for me. I've got leukemia. And then Tom Ray just got in the spirit and says, the Lord's just told me that that's not really your problem. And he told him what his problem was. And he says, but if you want, you can be delivered of that now. I'll call Brother Biscoe, call one of the deacons. We'll pray for you right here and now. And that young man, though he was right in the presence of eternal life, which revealed his situation, revealed the secret of his heart, he said, I'm not quite ready for that. And he left. And Brother Biscoe says, quite some time later, maybe more than a year later, he got a phone call from a hospital far away. And it was a nurse, and she said, there's a certain young man here called such and such, and he's calling for you. Brother Biscoe says, I didn't know who that young man was, and I asked some questions, and he says, and then I found out it was that young man. And he was right at the edge of death. And when he got right to the edge of, or he was about to pass away, he remembered now the opportunity that he had to be delivered by just exposing that enemy at that time. And the man went into eternity without making his things right with God. And I said, expose the devil. I really said that. Don't make allegiances with the devil. Don't have secret things of darkness in your life. No matter how bad they are, expose them. Just expose the devil. Just get it over and done with once. You'll find such a liberty inside of your life. But keeping some of those things, the devil keeps a grip inside of your life. And we pray for Brother Ronan as well. Let him just expose those things. Those devils will try to scare you and say, but we'll do this, that, and the other. They can't do anything. They're a bluff. It's just voices in somebody's mind. They don't have real power anymore. Because Jesus has stripped them of their power. And all you've got to do is expose those things. Resist them. And you find yourself in a liberty. So may the Lord lead us and guide us so we're fully justified. Amen. Under the blood. No condemnation. So when the devil comes in the evil day, you can stand your ground with confidence.
I was sitting alone and wondering about what I'm supposed to do. I can't deny the times I make mistakes. I can't hide from Him in you. But I knew that deep within my soul I felt sorry, honest I do. So I just cried and said, forgive me, Lord, forgive me again with you. Oh, justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place, you're justified. Justified, you're justified. You have not done it in the first place, you're justified. So often I'm discouraged when I count the times I fall. Cause you promised I'll be victorious when I know I'm not alone. Then I heard an eagle scream, its voice quickened my soul. Said you've not done it in the first place, you're justified. Oh,
justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Oh,
justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. He looked at your perfect picture without blame, spot or wrinkle. He didn't look at you where you are now. He looked from eternity. He said you're just trapped in that body. You bypassed your theophany. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Hallelujah.
Justified. Justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Oh, I'm justified.
Justified. Justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Let's bow our heads, saints. Just a reminder, youth meeting next Saturday, 1 p.m. at the church. Amen. Let's remember that. Just ask Brother George if he would close for us in a word of prayer.
Stand in your presence,
yes, Lord.
Father, Lord, and present even our souls in the state that they are. Yes. Father, knowing indeed, Lord, Father, that we are justified. And Lord, Father, you, Lord, Savior, done it all for us on Calvary, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we are grateful, Father, that, Lord, we can come and look, Lord, even into the unseen, Lord. Father, we can come, Lord, even into your presence, Father.
Amen.
Oh, Father, and you would set the captive free, Lord, Father, knowing indeed, Lord, Savior, that, Lord, Father, this life, Lord, is full of, Lord, Savior, spiritual warfare.
Yes, Lord.
But, Lord, how glad we are to know today that, Lord, our weapons are not carnal, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord, our weapons, Lord, Savior, Father, are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen.
Jesus, we are grateful unto thee tonight.
Amen.
Lord, Father, to be here, even in this place, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we know, Lord, Savior, that you have, Lord, Father, much, Lord, Savior, in store for each day, Father.
Yes,
just
Lord.
Like that wilderness journey, Lord.
Yes,
Father, and as the pastor was saying, Lord, Father, Lord, you'd provide the manna today.
Amen.
For the problems we'd meet tomorrow, Lord,
yes,
Savior.
Lord.
And I believe, Lord, with this word, Lord, Father, Lord, I can see already, Lord, Savior. Father, Lord, in the way that the enemy would come, Father.
Amen.
Lord, I would desire to say, thus saith the Lord, Lord.
Amen.
Help, Lord, Savior, we pray. Let me, Lord, Savior, not rely on our understanding, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, on our intellect, Lord. But, Lord, we, Lord, Savior, Father, always, Lord. Father, Lord, God, have an experience oft with thee, O God.
Yes,
for without, Lord.
Lord,
experiencing the supernatural, how
Amen.
Can we become supernatural, Lord, Savior?
Yes.
Father, we don't desire, Father, Lord, to speak of a God, Lord, Savior, Father, Lord, that is not on the throne, a God that is not in control.
Yes.
Father, we don't desire to speak, Lord, Father, by some, Lord, Savior, understanding of this and that or the other.
Amen.
But we desire to be sure, Lord, to be sure, to be sure, that,
Amen.
Lord, we have had an experience with thee first, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Father, we are grateful,
yes,
Father.
Lord,
and having had an experience with thee, oh God, Lord, Father, through the message of this day, Father,
oh,
through the prophet that thou hast sent to us in this day,
yes.
Father, Lord, God, we can, Lord, Savior, say we believe the good report.
Amen.
Father, we believe, Lord, Savior.
Yes.
Father, you've sent to us, Lord, even in this day, a prophet, Lord. Lord,
Amen.
And we stand, Lord, Savior, by this word, Father, and we believe, Lord, Father, no matter what comes, Lord, Father, Lord, though all hell may, Lord, Father, assail, and Lord, Father, all things may, Father, come, Lord, as storm arms, Lord.
Yes,
we would
Lord.
Stand on that promise, Lord. We would Amen. Stand on that word, Lord, said God. And we are taking that, Lord. Father, even Lord Savior, Lord, right up to our deathbed, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Father, that is if we see it, Lord. Father, knowing indeed, Lord Savior, that would carry us through, Father, to your presence, oh God.
Yes,
we pray your blessing, Lord, even upon our brother, Lord. Yes. How he, Lord Savior, has labored, Lord, Father, not only this day, but weeks gone by, oh, bringing us this word, Lord. Father, seeing, Lord, indeed, Lord, how it's been so effective, Lord. Lord, that our brother Ronan, we didn't realize, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, he was tuning in, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, he was streaming in, Lord Savior.
Amen.
Lord, and being blessed by this very word, Lord Savior.
Amen.
Lord, not only us, Lord, but we pray, Father, Lord, that Lord Savior, to those that would, Lord, come across this word, Lord. May they find redemption, Lord.
Yes,
may they find grace, Lord. May they find help in a time of need, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Bless us as your church, oh God.
Yes,
Father, you know, Lord Savior. Father, just like in a family, Lord. Father, you would have, Lord Savior. Lord, the little camps, Lord. But we pray, Father, that you would be our greatest camp, Lord, Savior
yes,
God.
Lord.
We're looking unto thee, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Father, you be glorified amidst our lives, Lord.
Amen.
That we'd be able to accomplish that you have, Lord Savior, purposed for us to accomplish
yes,
in Ireland, Lord.
Father,
Amen. For each one of us, look in our lives today. Father, we could have, Lord, ended up in America. We could have ended up, Father, anywhere. Lord, Father, on the four corners of the earth. But you desired for us to be here, Father.
Yes,
Lord, and it's
yes,
because we are here, we have a job here, Father.
Amen.
And we desire to do our job whilst
yes,
we are here, Father.
Yes,
Lord, we don't desire that anyone would take our job, Lord. But
Amen.
We would do and accomplish that you have purposed, O God.
Please, Lord.
Bless us, your children. Help us, O God. Let this word, Lord, Father, O God, set free. Father,
yes.
Lord, us who desire, Father, to be set free.
Please,
bless
Lord.
Us as we part. We bless your name, Father. Bless the pastor. Give him strength.
Please, Lord.
Restore, Father, the
yes,
strength
Lord.
That has come out from him, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord, and you give him, Lord, grace, Lord.
Please,
when he
Lord.
Would, Lord, Savior, span even into those dimensions, Lord.
Lord, Lord.
Father, you would speak, Lord. Father, the requirements that we, your children, may have, Lord. Lord, and he would bring them unto us, Lord, Father. Lord, just like they said to Moses, you speak to God,
yep.
Lord, and whatever God tells you,
Amen.
We would listen, Lord, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We bless
yes.
your name this day, Father.
Yes,
we bless, Lord, Savior, all that thou hast done, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we bless, Lord, Savior, your grace amidst us, O God.
Yes,
knowing indeed, Lord, Savior, that our lives, Lord, would influence the next, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
Father, Lord, our sisters, Lord, like Sister Shivili, one day she'd be gone, Lord. But
Amen.
How have we influenced the Lord, Father?
Yes, Lord.
How have we, Lord, Savior, dealt with the Lord?
Yes.
Have we dealt faithfully with the Lord, Savior?
Yes, Lord.
Help me, Lord, Savior, Lord, that I never be found guilty, Lord,
yes,
Lord, of spreading, Lord, Father, the wrong doctrine, Lord,
Amen.
But spreading, Lord, Savior, the message of Malachi 4:5,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
Bless us, O God, we pray. For, Lord, we have abundance, Lord, Savior, of blessings, O God.
Yes,
we have
Lord.
A multitude, Lord, even of things, Lord. We've never, Lord, Savior, come and asked you for something and you've not given unto
yes,
us, Lord.
Lord.
Father, you've always provided our every need, Lord, Savior,
yes,
God.
Lord.
It's just that, Lord, many a time we forget, many a time we are not grateful, but we bless your name, Father,
yes,
for
Lord.
All you have done for us, for
Amen.
Our children, for our jobs,
yes,
for
Lord.
Our homes, for Lord Savior, brethren of like precious faith, for them, Lord, who would come and minister the word to us, Lord. Father, we are grateful, Father.
Yes,
Lord, we think, Lord, Father, of people caught out there in the wilderness, Lord Savior. Lord, I'd hate to think that, Lord. I'd hate to be out there, Lord Savior. And
yes,
that is
Lord.
Why, Father, I'm going to stay under the blood, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I'm going to stay under this word of Malachi 4:5, Lord. Father, we, Lord Savior, commit all things before thee, Father.
Yes, Lord.
You be glorified now as we part. We bless your name, Father. Let
Amen.
Us continue
yes,
on, Lord.
Lord.
Father, in this word that we've heard, Lord.
Amen.
And let us spread this word that we've heard, Lord Savior.
Yes,
for
Lord.
It's a message of restoration, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father,
yes,
we give praise unto thee, Lord, Father. Will you be glorified in all things we pray? We thank you for your goodness.
Yes,
and all that has been said and done,
Amen.
Father. Let us ponder these things, Father. And let us
yes,
take
Lord.
These things at heart. Bless us now as we part. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Let's finish with that song. I've what heard the good report, yeah? I just like Brother George's just saying there about how the Lord looks after our children. I'll just give a very short testimony of what happened the other day at home. It was so powerful to me. I was lying on the bed and then Benjamin came into the room. And next to our bed, there's a big chest of drawers full of clothes. And he wanted something on top and he opened the drawer and he stood on it. And the next thing I saw, I was lying on the bed, is the whole set of drawers just falling. And it fell right on top of him. And it smashed my phone and everything just came out of the drawers. And I just thought, this young man's dead. It was so I got up,
Hallelujah.
The drawers on top of him. I took him. He didn't have a scratch.
Hallelujah.
He didn't have a bruise.
Amen.
To me, it was so supernatural.
Amen.
I called Gita and I said, he doesn't have a scratch.
Amen.
Yet the whole thing just went on top of him. And I said, The prophet says, our children, there's an angel that watches
Amen.
Over them. And I saw that. To me, I just was so praising the Lord that day. I said, Lord, this could have been a disaster. His legs could have been broken. His back could have been broken. But not even a scratch or a bruise.
Hallelujah.
I said, how wonderful is the Lord? You know, he's so good. Amen.
Amen.
Let's
Amen.
Sing this one.
I believe a good report. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I have passed the outer court. Oh, glory be to God. I am all on Jesus' side. On the altar sanctified. To the world and sin I shine. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have passed the ribbon veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. I'm a king and priest to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. By the cleansing of the blood. Oh, glory be to God. By the Spirit's power and light. I am living day and night. In the holiest place so bright. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have passed the ribbon veil. Where the glories never fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. I have passed the outer veil. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Which did once give the cross seal. Oh, glory be to God. But the blood has brought me in. To God's holiness so clear. There's death to self and sin. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have passed the ribbon veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. I'm within the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I have passed the inner veil. Oh, glory be to God. I am sanctified to God by the power of the blood. Now the Lord is my abode. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have crossed the ribbon veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, I am living in the presence of the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the ribbon veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I am living in the presence of the King.